good Sabbath to everybody, and thank you very much, Marissa. That was very nice. I actually expected to have somebody come up here and read us another hymn, but that's okay. Surprise. That was really nice. I understand you're going to be singing that at the feast. Is that correct? That's a really powerful message, too, having that piece. That's really nice. I understand that your dad is also going to be leading hymns at the feast. That's exciting. I wish I could be here and watch that, because that is important. It's exciting. Sabbath services next week here at 10 o'clock. That's nice. We will not have Sabbath services in Youngstown next week or in North Canton, because all the speakers and song leaders and pianists and everybody else who would be serving, including the sound crew, they're going to be gone. So everybody could show up, but there's not going to be any services there. And here it is, September 15th, and the year has flown by so fast, hasn't it? Here we are at the spring holidays, the feast we looked at is going to be coming quick, but all of a sudden, here it is, September 15th, and it's only 16 days. In 16 days, we will be at the feast for the first night of services at the Feast of Tabernacles. And as fast as this year has gone, and even with what we're looking at now, it becomes really a challenge for us, with all the things that go on in our life, for us to be able to focus on all the things all the time that we have to focus on. And I remember, I think all of you do too, when we were younger, maybe littler ones remember hearing this recently, that you think time goes fast now? When you get older. There's just so much stuff that just hits us, and our focus is really hard. It's hard for us to stay focused on everything all of the time. Have you noticed that even people in the world, in general, have difficulty focusing on the different things that are going on around us, and also not making smart decisions? This seems to be like an epidemic, some kind of a disease that's going on, but it seems to be happening all over. And we hear it in the news as well, different types of choices that people make, and the results that come from that are bad consequences, bad results from that. There seems to be a major lack of wisdom all around us. The statement that comes to mind is, you're stuck on stupid. And that seems to be what's happening in the world around us. Everybody just seems to be stuck on stupid, including people in the government, some of the decisions that they make. For example, you have probably heard on the news up here in Cuyahoga County, I know we hear it down in Akron quite a bit, that there are meth labs being busted. In the first half of this year, over 150 meth labs were busted in Summit County itself. And that's not talking about the rest of the state. Just in the county, Summit County, in the first half, over 150 meth labs. Where is the wisdom in setting up something like that? Just because there's a little bit of money that comes in? It's against the law, it's unsafe, and it does kill people, but yet that unwise decision people have made. Another unwise choice or decision that causes bad consequences and causes car accidents here in the state of Ohio, again, for the first 6 months of the year, were up over 30% because of people not focusing, not paying attention, and not being wise. And one of the causes is texting. And while people are driving, you may have seen this. About 3 weeks ago, I stopped at a light and I turned and I saw a cop sitting next to me. He's texting. I couldn't believe it. It's against the law in the city that I was in, but yet he's texting. So there's some kind of a lack of wisdom in that thing. How many of us have cell phones? Some people actually have two or more just because of their job and other types of things. There seems to be like a sense of urgency when the phone rings for us to pick up that phone and talk on it, including while we're driving, but yet it takes that focus away. And there's also other types of things that we have trouble focusing on. Our finances, our health, our relationships, our jobs, food. So the seemingly small, mundane things like texting on the phone and talking on the phone while we drive is not worth thinking about, not worth focusing on, or are they? There is an observation in the Bible that covers this, and we can find it actually in the book of Luke. So let's turn there. The wisdom in ignoring such a small thing that we would consider small as a phone, talking or texting at a time that we need to be focused on something that is important. It actually speaks volumes about our character and other types of things, by the types of things that we do and choose as priorities. Luke chapter 16. What we consider important shows how we prioritize what we do. Luke 16, verse 10. I'll read this from the God's Word translation. Luke 16, verse 10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with a lot. Whoever is dishonest with very little is dishonest with a lot. What does this have to do with texting while we're driving or talking on the phone while we're driving? Others trust us, and we trust others. When we're driving down the road and there's traffic coming towards us or people driving around us, we trust that those people are focused on what they're doing while we're driving. Because if they're not, there could be an accident. And of course, often there is because of that. People aren't watching. They're distracted. The choices that they make show that they're not being very trustworthy with their ability to make wise decisions and choices. Yet to them, it's more important to do that. There's also an instructive warning in the Bible about being involved in that first example, and that is having a meth lab. Let's turn to that. Look at it in the book of Proverbs. The specific setting up of a meth lab, those words are not, of course, in Proverbs, but the overriding principle is Proverbs chapter 1. It speaks of planning to do wrong, planning to sin. Proverbs 1, verse 10. And I'll be reading this from the English Standard Version. Proverbs 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Let's jump down to verse 18. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessor. And we see that with people who plan to do wrong, to break the law, and such things as meth labs and other types of things as well. The end result or consequence of a bad choice or unwise decision will bring destruction, and often it can also bring death. One more example from Proverbs, we'll look at chapter 17. There's also a sense, like I said earlier, of urgency when we speak to others on the phone, but also when somebody says something or does something that we don't agree with, where is the wisdom for people to just blurt out what first comes to their mind because of what somebody says? Proverbs 17, verse 28, and I'll read this from the Modern King James Version. Proverbs 17, verse 28. Even a fool, when he is silent, is counted wise, and he who shuts his lips is counted as a man of understanding. So just because somebody says or does something that causes us to want to speak out doesn't mean that's a wise choice. You may be thinking that we are going to be covering the topic of wisdom, and you are correct. That is what we're going to talk about today. And we will be primarily looking at the book of Proverbs. However, there are a few other verses we'll pull in there. For those of you who like titles, we'll just title this one, Wisdom from Proverbs. When we look around us in the news and our everyday life and all the things that we deal with, we see that there is a great need for wisdom, not just in our life, but in the lives of those around us. Even though most all folks actually do believe that the decisions and the choices they make are correct, they are good, and they are wise. People just think that they are. Who would think, well, this is a foolish choice, so let's go ahead and do it? Not too many people, but yet people do push on. Who would think that saying, boy, if I make this choice and follow this path, it's going to actually bring destruction, so let's go ahead and do it? We don't think that way, but yet people go ahead and follow their choices. Unfortunately, so many of our young people, it destroys their lives because of not using wisdom in their choices. And also for our older folks, I can pretty soon actually be in that older folks area. It does make fools of us too, when we become victims of the vacuum that's caused because of wrong choices. Marriages are devastated, friendships are destroyed, jobs are lost, fortunes are squandered, lives are doomed for a lack of wisdom. Still, so many still believe that they are wise and they think correctly and the choices they make are good. For us, there are instructions that we can focus on that will provide the wisdom for us that we need to live God's way. And in the Bible, of course, we know that. The Bible is full of wise instructions, and the book of Proverbs is a great place for us to start. There are different subjects in the book of Proverbs that we can focus on, topics we could call them, wisdom about specific aspects of our life. For example, wisdom about not being a fool, wisdom regarding friendships and relationships, wisdom about marriage, wisdom regarding all types of family relationships, just relationships in general, wisdom about work, wisdom about the use of alcohol, and wisdom about the way we speak, wisdom about the use of money, and many, many other items. Perhaps the best topic for us to start with, though, today, is looking at the wisdom regarding the fear of the Lord. Let's look at two verses in Proverbs regarding this. We are to grow in knowledge and understanding and in wisdom. And here in Proverbs chapter 1, we are told that there is a place that knowledge starts for us. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Look next at Proverbs 9, verse 10. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We're to be looking at growing in knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And here, in both Proverbs chapter 1 and 9, we are told that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding begin with the fear of the Lord. The question that comes to mind is, what does it mean by fear of the Lord? The word fear in Hebrew is Yahweh. The Strong's number is H3374, Y-I-R-A-H, Yara. There are three meanings for the word fear. The first is dread or terror. And we can find an example of this in Jonah, in the first chapter, if we want to turn there, Jonah chapter 1. Jonah was trying to flee to Tarshish. I think we all remember the story. And when the storm came up, the others on the ship were afraid. There was a fear within Jonah 1, verse 10. Then the men were afraid with a great fear, and they said to him, "What is it that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from before the face of Jehovah, because he told them. So that this particular meaning is a dread, a fear, a dread of terror. A second meaning for fear is stand in awe as to a king. And we see this in an example in 1 Kings chapter 3. Here King Solomon was presented with a situation that he needed to rule on. It was his answer, the answer that he gave that brought a kind of this second kind of fear to the people. And we break in verse 26, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 26. And the woman whose son was living, the living child, said to the king, her womb yearned for her son. And she said, "O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no way kill it." But the other said, "Let it be neither mine nor yours. Divide it." In other words, she said, "Kill it. Cut it in half. Divide it." And the king answered and said, "Give her the living child, and in no way kill it. She is the mother of it." And all Israel heard the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw the wisdom of God was in to do judgments. They were in awe of the judgment that was made. A third meaning of the word fear is to revere or to respect as in regards to our parents. Leviticus 19, verse 3. And I'll read this back from the King James translation. Leviticus 19, verse 3. "Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Let me read this again, but I'll read this time from the Good News Bible, Leviticus 19:3. Each of you must respect your mother and your father and must keep the Sabbath as I have commanded. I am the Lord your God. And I'll read another one from the basic English translation. Let every man give honor to his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. And then finally from the God's Word translation, respect your mother and father. Observe my days of worship. I am the Lord your God. To have a fear this way is by showing respect and honor. So those are the three different types of meanings for the word fear. Notice in Exodus chapter 20, let's turn there. Exodus chapter 20. When God descended on Mount Sinai, we see this another example of the word fear. Exodus 20, verses 18, 19, and 20. And I'll read this one from the Modern King James Version. Exodus 20, 18, 19, and 20. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noises of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw, they trembled and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and so that his fear may be before your faces, so that you may not sin. Moses was encouraging the Israelites to not be afraid. Do not fear. He tells them that the Lord revealed himself in such a terrifying manner as to cause fear to scare them out of sinning. There was a reason for that. God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. The proper kind of fear, then, is that which causes us to stand in awe, to revere and to respect, and to keep us from sinning. What advantage is there, or a benefit, or a blessing from this? Let's take a quick look at some of the reasons, and we're going through the book of Proverbs pretty quick if you are able to keep up and read it. Fine, otherwise you can write it down. But better yet, go back and take a look at it more later. Revisit these verses. Now start in Proverbs chapter 8. First we will hate evil. And that's in Proverbs 8, verse 13. The fear of Jehovah is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance and the evil way and the wicked mouth. A second one is to prolong life. And that's in Proverbs 10, verse 27. Proverbs 10, 27. The fear of Jehovah prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. A third meaning, we have a strong hope and a foundation for life. And we find that in Proverbs 14, verses 26 to 20 and 27. In the fear of Jehovah is strong hope, and his son shall have a peace of refuge. A place of refuge, excuse me. The fear of Jehovah is a fountain of life to turn aside from the snares of death. Another one, the blessing will be, we will be prompted to turn from evil. Proverbs 16, verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of Jehovah, men turn from evil. So we saw that we are to hate evil, and we are to turn from it. And this comes from the wisdom in the Proverbs. A fifth one then, fifth item is that we will have a satisfying life and will be spared from evil. We find that in Proverbs 19, verse 23. The fear of Jehovah tends to life, and he rests satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. So there's three items right there in the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, that we will hate evil, we will turn away from evil, and evil will not visit us. Another benefit, we will enjoy riches and honor and life. Proverbs 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of Jehovah are riches and honor and life. And this is not looking at some of the Sunday preachers. There's one in particular, his name is who teach that following God will make you rich because of certain things you do. That's not what is meant here. By humility and the fear of Jehovah are riches and honor in life. And we can actually spend a long time discussing this because there's a lot to it. The proper fear of our Lord should be sought after as a valuable character trait and regarded as something that we desire to develop in our lives. If we yearn to be truly wise, then we begin with the fear of the Lord first, understanding this and appreciating it and working to develop it in our lives as God's children. Let's look at one more piece of wisdom, that of the wisdom regarding friendships, relationships. We know that a good friend and a trusted friend can be hard to find. It takes a long time to develop a friendship and that will stand the test of time. And it is rare to find a friend that will stick closer to us than our brother. If we are so fortunate as to have such a friend, then we can actually consider ourselves blessed with that. I think all of us have had friends who one had to move away for whatever reason we parted ways, and then years later we got back together and it was like no time passed at all. That friendship, that unity just came right back. That is a blessing to have that kind of a friendship, a relationship. Proverbs 18, verse 24. True friends are those who we trust with our belongings, all our stuff, our hopes, our dreams. Even a true friend, we can share our half-baked, goofy ideas and laugh about them and also feel safe that they will not take that and share it with other people and put us down. Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. These closest of good friends are also the ones that will easily hurt us. And this hurt from a friend can go very deep. A friend sticks by us at all times, and there is a danger also because a whisperer or someone who carries gossip can separate even the closest of friends. Proverbs 16, verse 28. We need to be very slow and cautious about leaving a friend because of something that was said. We need to be absolutely sure that it was not gossip or some kind of a vague accusation that it drives a decision for us to separate ourselves from someone who is a friend. Proverbs 16, verse 28. A perverse man causes fighting, and a whisperer separates chief friends. In Proverbs 17, verse 9, when a friendship is in danger, we are to go to a friend and make the friendship secure. By that friend that sticks closer at all times, that is when our friendship is needed the most. When somebody is having a really, really hard time and they need a friend, that's when our friendship is very important with that individual. Going to them in humility and being open to them and helping them if possible. Proverbs 17, verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. We live in a culture that requires contact with people. Every one of us is in contact with people all the time. We cannot become a hermit, live in a cave somewhere. It is impossible to avoid associations with other people. Here in Proverbs, as well as in other parts of God's Word, we have been provided the wisdom necessary to live peacefully with man. How to develop good relationships with others around us and to avoid many pitfalls that can destroy even the best of friendships, we can see the value of friendships if we focus on that and think about it. Friends can be a source of comfort in good times and in bad. In Proverbs 17, verse 17, it states this. A friend loves you at all times, but a brother was born to help in times of trouble. Sometimes better than what a brother provides. Proverbs 18, verse 24. Some friends are fun to be with, but a true friend can be better than a brother. A true friend can be a source of good counsel, advice that can delight the heart. In chapter 27, verse 9, perfume and incense make you feel good, and so does good advice from a friend. The value of wise leaders in general is seen in Proverbs 11, verse 14. A nation without wise leaders will fall. Many good advisors make a nation safe. I was trying to think of what to follow that up with our current political environment, but I think I really don't need to. It's just, a nation without wise leaders will fall. And many good advisors make a nation safe. A friend who offers comfort and can be trusted to provide good counsel is a great blessing for us. But we must choose our friends carefully. And that is something that I don't think we often think about, but actually we can choose who our friends are. We don't have to become close friends with somebody who works right next door to us, but we can actually have a choice. In Proverbs 12, verse 26, we need to consider our choices. Good people are careful about choosing their friends, but evil people always choose the wrong ones. So we also see that friendships are a choice. So if we are considering someone to be a close friend, what kind of a friend do we want? There's actually Proverbs that point this out to us as well. A person that gossips, Proverbs 20, verse 19. Now, what's interesting is, as you go through different Proverbs, just because there is one specific proverb doesn't mean it only applies to one specific item. In regards to relationships, it cover all the relationships, and there's many different things that these proverbs actually will connect with. Proverbs 20, verse 19, I'll take this from the Easy to Read translation. You cannot trust someone who will talk about things told in private. So don't be friends with someone who talks too much. A short-tempered person in Proverbs 22, verse 24 and 25. Don't be friends with people who become quickly angry. Don't say, stay around quick-tempered people. If you do, you may learn to be like them. Then you will have the same problems that they do. So here the Proverbs explaining that the company that we keep, we can become comfortable with whatever is happening, and we can end up going down the wrong path because we made a wrong choice. Don't become friends with liars or untrustworthy people and those who are inconsiderate. Proverbs 25, verse 18 points this out. A man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club or a sword or a sharp arrow. Trusting in a treacherous man in times of trouble is like a bad tooth or a foot that slips. And there are other warnings from wisdom about friendships in Proverbs and also other parts of the Bible. Wisdom about what is involved in having a true friend. Those who display wisdom themselves would be good to consider for a true friend. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. This is because, again, we tend to rub off on each other and follow the path of whoever it is that we're spending time with. We cannot say once a friend, always a friend, because there are things that can sever a relationship, even a good relationship, if we're not careful. Here again, Proverbs shows this. One way to mess up a relationship is, and we, again, talked about gossip earlier in 17 verse 9, Proverbs 17 verse 9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Excuse me. Another way to sever relationships is when we get into senseless arguments. I think all of us can think of different arguments that have been in the past that were just senseless. Proverbs 17, verse 14. The beginning of strife is like the release of water. Therefore, leave off fighting before it breaks out. And Barnes' commentary actually goes into an explanation of this a little bit more, so I'd like to look at this. The figure is taken from the great tank or reservoir upon which eastern cities often depended for their supply of water. The beginning of strife is compared to the first crack in the mound of such a reservoir. At first, a few drops start to ooze out, but after a time, the whole mass of waters pour themselves forth with fury. And it is hard to set limits to the destruction which they cause. Before it is meddled with, literally, before it rolls out or rushes forward. When I was looking at that, I thought about Katrina and how the levees broke. A lot of those were just earthen mounds. And as the water started to push, and you hear about different reservoirs, and all it is soil that's compacted. And as the water works on it, creates a crack, it starts to ooze out. And all of a sudden, it just breaks forth. And that's often what an argument or strife ends up becoming if we stay with it, especially if it's senseless. There's no reason to stay with it. It's like a rushing water just pours out and causes a strain even on relationships, good relationships. Proverbs 25, verse 17, make your foot rare from your neighbor's house, lest he be full of and hate you. That's another way that we can sever a relationship, by straining it, by sticking around a little bit too long. All of us like our privacy, but if we're with somebody way too long, that person can become irritated, and a friendship can be strained. One that is meddling in the affairs of others, that shows a lack of wisdom and can divide us also. Proverbs 26, verse 17. Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. I don't remember exactly where I was. I think it was President Johnson who had dachshund. He picked up the dogs by the ears. And, of course, that was quite an uproar. But when I read that, that's what I thought of. So someone also who is contentious can divide friendships. Proverbs 26, verse 21 reads, as coal to burning embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Let me read this again, but I'll do this from the easy version. Charcoal keeps the coals glowing, wood keeps the fire burning, and troublemakers keep arguments alive. That's not the kind of friend we want to be with, someone who's a troublemaker. So this is telling us to focus, to pay attention to what's going on. There are many ways, many other ways to separate friends. Those who play bad jokes, those who engage in insincere flattery, that also, if you think about it, that also can cause strains on our relationships. The wisdom in Proverbs also shows us how to keep the peace, solve problems, and heal wounds before they shatter our relationships. For example, the first most important item is that we make sure that we are living the way that pleases God. And here in Proverbs 16, verse 7, it reads, when people live to please the Lord, even their enemies will be at peace with them. A good piece of wisdom. Show love to others quickly. Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up fights, but love covers all sins. There is wisdom when we speak with few words as well. Proverbs 10, verse 19. A multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who holds back his lips is wise. This is hard for most of us, but this is well worth working on, just biting our tongue, so to speak. But also, our next one, it's a great challenge for most of us to strive to speak gently. Not only hold back the volume of words that just flows like a broken dam, but also speaking gently. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. I don't know how many of you have jobs where constantly you're dealing with people. I do have that opportunity. I deal with contractors and city people and different types of government people and homeowners. And quite often they come at me or come at the people that I'm working with a bit of antagonistic words or approach, and just using these little pieces of wisdom, just holding back and not saying anything and saying something with peace, it's absolutely amazing. It's a blessing when you think about it and not give in to those type of things, how the situation can calm down and actually be a blessing instead of a curse. We need to be slow to anger and fast with patience. Proverbs 15, verse 18. A quick temper causes fights, but patience brings peace and calm. We don't often think about these things, but in a moment we'll take a look at how we can put this in our mind and put it to use. It is best when we are slow to respond rather than fast to snap back. Proverbs 18, verse 13. Let people finish speaking before you try to answer them. That way you will not embarrass yourself. A little bit of a caution there. How many times somebody has said something and we already know what they're going to say, so we jump right into there and then we're kind of embarrassed because we shouldn't have jumped in. So here, let people finish speaking before you try to answer them. That way you will not embarrass yourselves and look foolish. Finally, it is best to deliberately avoid arguments. Proverbs 20, verse 3. People who refuse to argue deserve respect. Any fool can start an argument. Often in Proverbs, a specific proverb will affect a different subject as well. And we can see this in our friendships, in our relationships, in all types of areas in our life. And also, another one, a very special relationship, and that is the wisdom about marriage. And we'll finish with this one. When it comes to marriage, we all feel that we know all there is to know about marriage. Because those of us who are already married. So we know all there is to know about marriage, right? And we're wise, and the decisions we make are good, right? Not always. When it comes to marriage, we all feel that we know. So we know that we know, and we must even think that our marriage is unique. God, our Maker, knows us, and the book of Proverbs sheds light on this relationship, regardless of how special we think we are, how special we think and unique we think our relationship is with our spouse. There is nothing new under the sun, and it's good to turn back to God's Word for guidance. Of all the relationships that we have, this one is very uniquely special. Of course, the most important one is our relationship with God, Father, and Jesus Christ. But secondly, for those of us who are married, this is a very important relationship that we need to focus on. We see in Proverbs 3 that in this relationship of marriage, we need to trust God more than trusting our own understanding. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And that with any relationship, especially with marriage, just because we think it's right, we need to, even a small thing, turn to God for guidance. Because we can say something or not say something, or do something or not do something that could cause some friction. And it wouldn't be a wise thing to turn our back on God's directions and do things our own way. We hear of and know of marriages that are full of strife on the rocks, or even so bad as that there's actually hatred between two partners. And of course, that usually precludes maybe a divorce where things have gotten really, really bad. And actually in the news we see that between actors and dignitaries and all that type of thing as well. There is hatred between partners, but in Proverbs 10, verse 12, we actually see an antidote to hate. Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covereth all sins. That doesn't mean we can't talk at all. We might want to think about the words that we say to others, but especially to our family and to our spouses, as gifts. It might be kind of a strange thing to think, but actually if there's going to be some kind of a conflict or some kind of a stressful situation, even if it's not from our spouse, but we're in a stressful situation together for some reason, the words that we say can actually be a blessing to our spouse if we ask God for that kind of guidance. We need to think that whatever we say can be a blessing, but things can be overdone or they can be underdone. So there has to be a balance there as well, and that's where we get guidance from God. There's something else that comes to mind with this as well, that our words to our spouse and to others can be a blessing. And the verse that comes to mind is, we are not to withhold a blessing from others when it's within our ability to do so. And it's also more blessed to give than to receive. So the words that we share with each other, we say to each other, can be a blessing if we ask God to guide us with that wisdom. Proverbs 10, verse 19, sin is unavoidable when there is much talk, but whoever seals his lips is wise. Here again, that's a particular scripture that applies very well to marriages and close relationships. Sometimes we can be adamant about proving to our spouse, or to others, but especially in this case in marriages, that our way, the way that we are looking at it, is the only right way that it should be looked at. Have you ever heard somebody kind of say something in a way that, I'm telling you, this is the way you need to look at it? And often that happens in a family relationship. This actually, doing the right talk can cause death to a relationship as well, just because of the attitude that we speak with. One of the cruelest weapons that we can use against others, especially to our mates, is our tongue. And we see this in Proverbs 12, verse 18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And in Proverbs 13, verse 3, we read, he who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. The Life Application Bible reads it this way: you have not mastered self-control if you do not control what you say. Words can cut and destroy. If we want to be self-controlled, we need to begin with our tongues. That's where it starts. It is wise to pursue or to stop and think before we speak, just for a moment. We don't have to blurt it out. If we can control this little small thing, yet a powerful part of ourselves, we can control the rest of our body. What did we read earlier? He who can control that little thing, who is trusted with that little thing, can be trusted in bigger things. If we can be trusted when we speak, if our boss sends us out to speak to somebody, and the words that we use, we can be trusted to do what needs to be done. We can be trusted in larger things as well. What kind of a house are we building in our own personal houses? Or are we contributing to tearing it down unwittingly if we're not paying attention? The spirit of our spouses and the atmosphere of our home will be affected by what we say and the way that we say it. It is wise for us to take personal responsibility for our contribution to the atmosphere in our home and not blaming our spouse for all the wrong words. If there is any kind of conflict, don't blame the other person. Look at yourself. What am I saying? How am I saying it that it will bring peace and bring a content environment and a loving environment into the home? Once we get entrenched into kind of a defensive mode when we're speaking, it's hard for us to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, and jump out of that trench and begin to speak correctly. It's just human nature that once we get entrenched, we stay there. Proverbs 14, verse 1, a wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears it down. This is also true for us men. It's not just for women. In Proverbs 16, verse 23 and 24, a wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and healing to the bones. We pray that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart would be pleasing to God and bring healing and sweetness to our marriage. But just because we pray that, and God will give us the opportunity to use that, we need to be able to focus and use the wisdom that God leads us with in the words that we say and the things that we do. We need to also be careful of right fighting. I kind of referred to this a little bit earlier. Right fighting is pushing against somebody in such a way that we would rather prove that we are right than to save our relationship. That's where we get entrenched in the situation. And an argument starts to develop, or just coarse words, and we are so fixed on pushing our right way that even when we realize, oops, I'm not so right, it's tough to push back. So having that mindset or that attitude of fighting with a right this is, I'm right, type of a, approach is something that we need to stay away from. Proverbs 16, verse 25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end, it leads to death. Proverbs 17, there is a saying that goes, charity begins at home, but so does graciousness. Not just charity, but graciousness as well. Proverbs 17, verse 9. He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats a matter separates close friends. And our family, our spouses, are the closest of our human friends. The New Life Bible Commentary covers this saying, this proverb is saying that we should be willing to forgive others' sins against us. Covering over offenses is necessary for any kind of relationship. It is tempting, especially in an argument, to bring up all the old mistakes that were made in the past by the other person. Love, however, keeps its mouth shut and doesn't keep track of those things. Difficult as that might be for us, that is something that needs to be in the forefront of our mind as we live with people. Proverbs 17, verse 14, starting a quarrel is like reaching a dam. So drop the matter before dispute breaks out. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. And we read through that earlier with the other commentary. Talk about every little irritation or piece of gossip since the beginning of time will keep that fire, that aggravating situation going. So by refusing to discuss, cuts the fuel off and makes the fire die out. Other verses in Proverbs that speak to marriage relationships and all types of relationships include Proverbs 17, verse 28. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent and discerning if he holds his tongue. Proverbs 18, 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from God. This is also true for women. She who finds a good man, this is a blessing from God as well. And having a marriage is certainly something that God has blessed all of us with. But congratulations, and that's something to pray about, that God would give all of us wisdom in our marriages as we speak and deal with each other. Proverbs 20, verse 3, it is to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Even though this reference for a fool, we don't think of this in marriage. It does not, because we're married or because we have a close friend, does not mean that we can't be foolish. We can be if we're not paying attention and focusing like we should. Let's not make it any more difficult on each other than we need to. Even if our mate is acting foolishly for some reason, and it might be they're acting foolishly because of the way we perceive it, they may not be foolish, but we need to see that the way we respond is very important. Proverbs 21, verse 9. Being an argumentative person is not wise. Proverbs 21, verse 9. Better to live in the corner of the roof than share a house with a quarreling wife. This is just as true for us men. For our wives, it's better for our wives. If we're quarreling and we have that kind of a mindset, it's better for them to go off to the side somewhere than to stay close to us quarreling all the time. Better to live in the desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife. Again, same thing for the husbands. It's better for the women to separate themselves than to be around us men if we're in a quarreling mindset or attitude. It will cause the relationship to suffer. On the other hand, we can build a relationship. Again, there's so much in Proverbs. Any one of these things that we're looking at, we could spend a whole sermon on just one aspect of it. But in Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4, it points this out. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare treasure. The more we invest in our marriage and in our relationships, and first and foremost, the more we invest in our relationship with God, the more valuable it becomes. There is much wisdom for us here and to guide our walk in righteous paths, living as God has guided us. As we apply the teaching, it will show in our demeanor, it will show in our personality, and it will show in our character. you hear the saying, boy, look at that character walking on the other side of the street. The way we live our life does leave a reputation in others. We talk about different people and their personality and their character, and if we do follow the wisdom of God, it does affect the way others perceive us, because we will be living the way God directs us. There's much wisdom here for all of us throughout all of this this book. We are to grow in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. If we desire to be truly wise, then we need to begin with the fear of the Lord. To walk in wisdom, our thoughts must be affected and actually infiltrated. The teaching of God needs to be absorbed into our minds until it's almost like second nature, so that we don't have to pause and think for 5 minutes before we respond to a comment that somebody makes. To do this, there is a great need for all of us, a must, to place the words of wisdom into our minds. We need to be reading this and thinking about it, meditating and applying the wisdom from God that we find in Proverbs and other parts of the Bible as well, and praying that God will place them in our hearts. It's just not from the mind, but it's from the heart. And it has to be from the heart because we want to. There is an action plan, actually, that we can look at as we conclude. This action plan is something that's very easy for us to do. In 16 days, we will be at the first night of the Feast of Tabernacles. So how might we learn from now until the feast and through the feast about God's wisdom? This action plan to build wisdom can start actually today by reading the proverb number of that day. Today is the 15th. So read Proverbs 15 at least once during the day, possibly twice. Tomorrow is the 16th. Read Proverbs 16 tomorrow. Read other things also, not just the Proverbs, but read other things as well. Start each day and end each day with reading from the Proverbs. And it isn't long, really. Each one just take a couple minutes. When we do that, we actually will begin the day and we will end the day with God's wisdom coming into our mind. Then, as we head to the feast, consider reading the Book of Wisdom or the Book of Proverbs every single day while we are there. In fact, consider completing the entire book of Proverbs during the feast. There's 8 days in the feast, and there are 31 chapters. So you divide it, and there's with the 8 days, there's 4 chapters a day. Short one, but still. Just reading 4 chapters a day, 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, or evening, would be a great thing to do. Another thing to do with our spouses would be to read them together. Or if you're sharing a room with another church member at the feast, take the time in the morning to pray, but to read Proverbs that day or a couple of them and go through the entire book over the course of the feast. It will cause our relationship to grow closer to each other, but it will also help us to focus on the wisdom of God and help us as we go through the feast to focus on God throughout the day and throughout the feast. And the other thing that will take place is as we go through the week or through the day, there are different episodes and different situations that will come and face us, and it's amazing how a little pearl of wisdom will come to mind that will apply to that particular situation. Often with the relationships or things that we need to do that a person's not involved, but having the wisdom and asking God to direct us that way. One question pertaining to our choices, though, of our use of wisdom is to pause for a moment and ask. And it doesn't have to be 2 or 3 minutes, but just for a moment. What are the consequences of my choice? If I have a choice, A or B, one of them could be a wise choice and the other one, it really doesn't matter, or one could be a very unwise choice. But pause for a moment and consider the consequences if we make that choice and ask God to direct our path. Does a decision point us towards righteousness and a good outcome or a potential bad outcome? Or is the result of a decision going to lead to sin? It doesn't have to be that the choice is going to, I've got a tire that needs air, but I'm going to wait for a couple hundred miles before I put air in it. That choice may not be wise. You might end up with a flat tire, but it's not a sin. However, there may be a choice that if you make the wrong one or we make the wrong one, it'll take us towards sin. So the choice that we start out with. This goes back then to the examples that we started out at the beginning. Texting when driving can cause accidents, taking our focus off the road. In some places, it's breaking the law to do that. It's not a wise thing to do. Running a meth lab, that's not something that any of us would do, but yet we can't turn a blind eye to that either. We need to help if at all possible stop that kind of activity, because it's not wise to allow that to happen. And part of the reason is, if there's a meth lab in our area, there's a really good chance that crime could visit our door, because a lot of those folks go out and they break in and they steal and rob, and we've never heard of people who actually get beat up or killed because of that. All of us respond with emotion. Our heart, in our heart, needs to be involved in that as well. Use our brain to take our, use our heart to take our brain with us, following our heart. Let's conclude by turning to the first chapter of Proverbs and reading the first five verses. Why would we want to read and to study the book of Proverbs to make this part of our life? How could this be a help to us? Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 5, and I will read this from the easy-to-read version. Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 5. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. They will help you learn to be wise, to accept correction, and to understand wise sayings. They will teach you to develop your mind in the right way. You will learn to do what is right and to be honest and fair. These proverbs will make you, even those without education smart. They will teach young people what they need to know and how to use what they have learned. Even the wise could become wiser by listening to these proverbs. They will gain understanding and learn to solve difficult problems.